Praise God. I want to read some verses in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 14 here today, 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. I want to read here, beginning with verse number 6. Now, this is an account of a man who never gave up on the promises of God. Never gave up on the promises of God. And I'm telling you, there are times, as you serve the Lord and walk with the Lord, there are times when you are challenged and you will likely doubt the promises of God. You wonder, is this really for me? Is this really what God has said that he would do? Well, there's the account here in this chapter that reminds us that we need to hold on to God's promises and never, ever give up. Amen. Trust the Lord. Let's read here in Joshua 14 in verse number 6. Joshua 14, beginning with verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Well, this is the account of what happened there on the just on the border of Israel. Kadesh Barnea is where that Joshua, actually 45 years before, Moses, all the children of Israel were encamped along the border there in Kadesh Barnea before entering into the promised land. And of course, they sent in the 12 spies into the promised land. Now, I believe that he sent them in there so that they could establish a battle strategy, so they could look it over and see where the enemies were, where the strongholds were, where and how that they needed to plan their battle. He sent them in to set up a strategy to win the battle over all the inhabitants of the promised land. Moses' full intention was that the children of Israel were going to march in and take possession of the promised land. But when they came out, there were two different thoughts, two different attitudes. 10 of them had developed the attitude, it's not possible. We're not going to be able to do this. They're too tall. They're too strong. They're They have fortresses and walled cities, and some of them are giants. They came out with such an evil report. The scripture refers to it in the New Testament as an evil report. It was a report that caused the rest of all of Israel to collapse with fear. And it says that their hearts melted, and they had no courage, no desire to go in and to possess what God had promised them. And so these 10 spies came back with this bad report. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, a godly report, a report of faith and optimism and confidence in God. Let me just read you some names here. Shamua, Shaphat, Egal, Patli, Gadiel, Amiel, Sethur, Nabi, Gael. Do you all remember ever reading any of these names? Do those names, are they familiar to you at all? Well, they weren't to me, because they were the other spies. We just remember Joshua and Caleb. But the other spies, their names were forgotten because they were buried in the wilderness and never entered into the promise of God. Amen. So what was so different about this man, Caleb? Interesting, the Hebrew name for Caleb is just dog. I'm sure that you didn't name Caleb because the Hebrew name means dog. There's got to be a good Christian name for Caleb that doesn't mean dog. But the Hebrew name was dog. For Caleb, it just means he was a commoner, he was rough, he was rugged, he was not at all some special person who had any special qualifications at all. He's probably somewhat like John the Baptist, you know, and the way that he was in the wilderness and the type of a rugged man of the wilderness that he was probably similar to that. But there was something different about Caleb, and this is what changed his response to the circumstance, and it's what caused him to be able to hold on in faith for all those many years, and now to be able to enter into the promised land at 85 years old with the same faith, the same confidence in God. And he said, I'm just as strong as I was then. What a miraculous thing that God did in the life of Caleb. This man was a man of such great faith, but there was a reason. There was in him, the scripture says in Numbers 14 and 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Praise God. The thing that set Caleb and no doubt Joshua aside from everyone else was they had a different spirit. They had another spirit. It wasn't the spirit of those of unbelief and doubt and hopelessness, but it was another spirit. It was not common. Do you know that we need men and women today who have an uncommon spirit? They're not the ordinary. They're not like the average person. That it's obvious that when you are around them or when you hear them speak, and it's obvious that in their life there's something different going on in their life, that they have a touch of God. They have a spirit within them that's different than anyone else. Do you know that's available to every one of us here today? That wonderful touch of God, that wonderful spirit of God that can rest upon every life and every person here today. You can be different and used of the Lord in such a wonderful in a mighty way. As a matter of fact, I think this different spirit is something that we should pursue. It's something we should desire. And all of the choices and the direction of our life should be in pursuit of something from God that causes us to be used of the Lord and mightily anointed of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you covet that? Do you desire that? Do you long for a touch from God that causes you to be a different kind of a person? Not a commoner. Caleb was a common man from his birth. But there's nothing common about him at his age now, at 40 years old, as he is sent in to spy out the land. Nothing common about this man. As he goes in, he chooses as the area. No doubt they're going in to, as I said, spy out the land and to develop a strategy. And he must have went to the land there of Hebron, this mountain range that was filled with giants. The Anakims were there, and they were known to be people of war. They were known to be giant men, warriors, fierce and feared. But for some reason, it was this spirit in Caleb that he said, well, when the land gets divided up, this is what I want. I want the land of Hebron. I want this mountainous region. I want, if I have to go in and run out of all the giants out of this territory, I'm willing to do it. He was already making his plans for going in and possessing his portion of the promised land. But when he comes out, then the evil report comes. And there's such a roar. The scripture says there's just a roar and an upcry, an uprising among the children of Israel that he has to quiet them down. Hold it just a minute. Be quiet. Listen to me. We are more than able to go in and to possess this land. If God goes with us, Caleb says, if the Lord be with us, then we are going to go in. He says, they'll be just like bread to us to go. He said, it'll just be like a little lunch. It won't be a big deal. It'll be easy just to go in. But if God is with us, it may seem like a formidable foe against us. But if God is for us, your biggest obstacle in your life, God can take care of that. God can take care of that. And he never gave up on his vision and on his desire. Even though that Joshua and Caleb suffered the consequences of the unbelief of the rest of the nation. Do you know that whenever you believe God, there's a lot of people, naysayers around you, that can certainly, many times, they'll dash your faith and they'll quench the wonderful things that God is doing in you and for you. But understand that God can work even in the minorities and among the minority. You may be a small, insignificant person, but God can work in your life to do some wonderful and supernatural things if you'll just put your trust in the Lord. So he went back into the wilderness with the rest of the children of Israel, and he suffered the consequences. All around him, they're dying. And I don't know how many, but some believe there could be as many as a million to a million and a half people that were a part of that crowd that died in that 40-year period, died in the wilderness. It was a horrible thing, and they were just marching it through the wilderness aimlessly, not getting anywhere. Their life was a mundane, never progressing, never accomplishing anything, never getting anywhere. They were just going in circles all the years of their life until they died and were buried in the wilderness. You see, that's what the enemy has planned for you. His plans for you is your destruction. His plan for you is for you to never, ever accomplish what God has planned for your life. He wants to sidetrack you, and he wants to send you into the wilderness of hopelessness, no purpose, never able to accomplish anything that God has for your life. But even though all around him they were dying, Joshua and Caleb never lost sight of the promise of God. Let me tell you, if the Lord has spoken it, if it's in your heart, and you know that God has spoken it to your heart, and it's maybe a personal promise or just a promise from God's word, whatever it is, hold on to that promise. Believe God. Never give up. Never let go. Never allow anything or anyone to dash your faith and your confidence in the Lord. Amen. For Caleb, it was that mountain. For Caleb, I believe that he had a dream. Even though he was in the wilderness and he was suffering with the rest of the children of Israel, aimlessness, never getting anywhere, He never let go of the reality and the promise of God that God had given to him, that one day, God was going to give to him this wonderful, wonderful promise. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to encourage you this morning to never give up. Now, he was 85 years old. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what your age, no matter what particular phase of life that you're in, don't give up on the promise of God. Don't give up on what God has said he can do for you and will do in your life. Never, ever give up on the promise of God. Hold it in your heart as a dream, a reality of what God has said, that God will bring it to pass if you will not let go. Amen. Joshua and Caleb were different. And it says really that they had this different spirit. There was something that set them apart from everyone else. And that's the spirit that I want to have. Amen. I want to have that same spirit that's unlike anyone else. I want to have a spirit that is a gift from God. A spirit that never, ever loses sight of the promise of God. Amen. Do you have some dreams, some spiritual goals, some spiritual desires in your heart? I hope that you do, because if you don't, you may be in a wilderness. You may just kind of be roaming around, getting nowhere, never really accomplishing the things that God wants you to accomplish. But I want you to be awakened this morning to the reality that no matter who you are, what the circumstance of your life might be, that God has a plan for you, and his plan is wonderful. It's great. It's mighty. It's a plan that can be fulfilled in your life if you'll put your trust in the Lord. Let's look at this different spirit. And we know that this different spirit was not produced by the flesh at all. This was something from God. This was a spiritual gift. No doubt a spiritual touch that was upon these two men's lives when everyone else around them, their hearts are melting, and they have given up. But Joshua and Caleb, they see the situation with great optimism and great hope and great confidence because of the Spirit of God that was resting upon their life. Do you desire that same Spirit that sets you apart from others, that causes you to be different than those, some of those around you that are doubting and can't seem to find their way? It is not produced by the flesh. It is produced by the Spirit. So let's look at this just for a few minutes. Notice that there's at least three, maybe four times that it says that he fully followed the Lord. A person who has this wonderful Spirit of God resting upon their life, this Spirit, it's produced in the life of a person that is fully following the Lord. Amen. Now that just means that you have a quality about your life and your commitment to God, that you have given your whole heart and your whole life to Jesus Christ. You're not holding back in any area of your life. You see, a lot of people today, they want a little bit of religious experience. They're okay with maybe a little bit on Sunday, but they really are not interested in following the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day of the week. They're not interested in God's plan and God's purpose for their life. But a person that is wholly following after the Lord, they have given themselves completely and entirely to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we use the terminology, they are sold out. They have sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was raised up in church, as most of you know, and went to church every time the doors were open and knew a lot about it. But there came a time in my life as a young man that I had to make a decision. Is it going to be half-hearted Christianity, or am I going to give it all to God? Am I going to be willing to say, okay, Lord, use me whenever and wherever. Do with me whatever you choose to. I belong to you for whatever you want to do. If you want to have this wonderful Spirit resting upon your life, you're going to have to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Committed to him. Committed to his will. Committed to his plan. Committed to his purpose. Everything has to belong to the Lord. And no half-heartedness. No partial religion. But it has to be, I'm yours, Lord. You use me for whatever you desire to use me for. It's complete surrender. It is giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? I trust that you have. I trust that you've given yourself to the Lord for whatever he wants to do with your life. And your man-made plans, your ideas have to be all set aside so that you can do the will of God with all of your heart. Well, that was Caleb. That was Caleb who wholly followed the Lord. And the Bible says that he had a different spirit. And I believe that was one of the reasons why he did, is because he wholly followed the Lord. The second thing was he had this great awareness of the need for the presence of God with him. He wanted God to be with him. He wasn't willing to try it on his own. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Amen. That was the thing that gave to him such strong faith and confidence. He knew that this endeavor, God was going to go with him. He wasn't going to be able to accomplish it in his own strength. The reason that he could say, I want that mountain, and I don't care if it is inhabited by giants and great fighting warriors. I really don't care, because I know I desire that. The Lord has promised that to me, and I am going to go in, and I'm going to possess it, because the Lord is with me. Praise God. Amen. You know, if God is with you, all things are possible. Throw out the limitations. Throw out the limitations. If God is with you, all things are possible. There's nothing that the Lord cannot do, or nothing that God doesn't desire to do in our behalf if we put our trust in the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? Notice that the verse that I just read to you, it says, their defense is departed from them. Their strength and their ability to resist us is already gone. All we have to do is go in and possess it. Now, what those 10 spies did was they saw the walled cities and the great warriors, and their hearts melted, and they just didn't believe it was possible. But do you remember that before the children of Israel went into Jericho, or when they went in, the spies went into Jericho, that they had already heard of the fame of the God of Israel? They had already heard of the miracles in the wilderness. They had already heard of it. I believe that all of those in the promised land had already heard, and their defenses were crumbling, and their ability to resist was already gone. All it required is that they be a people of faith that would march forward and believe God. Amen. Now, whatever you're dealing with, whatever big obstacle or maybe some challenging thing that's for you, that God has spoken to you about, and you know that you need to move forward in believing God. Amen. Understand that if God is with you, you can't be stopped. Amen. I am not going unless God goes with me. But if he goes with me, I'm going to go anywhere that he calls me to go. So he had a great appreciation for the presence of God. And oh, how we need to long for the presence of God in every service. And then throughout our lives every day, Lord, go with me to work. Go with me to school. Go with me to my daily responsibilities. Lord, empower me and use me wherever you send me every day of the week, because I know that I can face whatever challenges before me if your presence is with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to God. A third thing that I noticed in this text was how much that he believed God. He had such faith in God. Caleb may have been a little rough around the edges, but he had a tremendous confidence and faith in God. He believed that God was going to do what he promised. Amen. A lot of times we have trouble believing is because we're not really that much of a people of God's word. But if you're a person who reads it, studies it, and you're a person that takes it to heart and believes it and makes it a part, as James says, make it the engrafted part of your life. When you do that, the word of God becomes real, it becomes personal, and your faith is increased. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So faith. Caleb was such a man of faith. Numbers 14 and 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. This land that was promised to them generations before, Caleb understood the promise of God. Oh, how much of the time do we as Christians live beneath the promise of God? We live like a beaten down bunch of people that, you know, we just think, oh, how can we make it? We're in such a world of wickedness and evil, and we just have to take the tuck head and act like, well, we're not really important. You know, we are the only hope for this world. The only hope for this nation is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for the world is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're the only hope. We cannot take the tuck head. We cannot walk around without hope and faith and confidence in God. We need to believe God and believe that he is going to fulfill what he has promised. Amen. He is going to do it. Amen. Judson, the missionary, went into Burma as a very zealous young missionary, preacher of the gospel. A year went by, no converts. Another year went by, no converts. 7 years went by and no response. How discouraging would that be? To go into a mission field and spend 7 years investing your time and your life, living in hardship, suffering the loss of some of your family, burying them during that 7 year period. But Judson never gave up. He never lost sight of his calling and his purpose in that place. Matter of fact, it was Adoniram Judson that said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Glory to God. Amen. Because after that 7 year period that he invested in those people, God began to move. There was one convert, then another, then another, then another. And suddenly the church was snowballing, the numbers of people that were coming to the Lord, and the church was established and it grew, and God mightily used Adoniram Judson in Burma to establish a beachhead for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. He never gave up. He never gave up on the promise of God. Sometimes it requires faith and endurance, faith and determination. Never going to give up and never going to stop praying. Never going to give up on the promises of God. I've told you many, many times about my dad's salvation and my mom's persistent prayers for him. For 30 some years, she prayed for him. Most of those years, he was not open to the Lord and didn't respond in any way toward the things of the Lord. When he was in his last weeks of his life and hospice was coming in often, maybe once or twice a week, at that point, they sat down at the table with my mother and they said, now, Mrs. Jarvis, you're going to have to realize that some people make their peace with God just between them and God. And it may not be something that you even know about, but that's just somehow some people do that. And my mother said, no, I don't believe that. I have prayed for 30 some years for him to be saved. He is not going to die and me not know it. If he gets saved, I'm going to know it. And I believe that God has given me the promise that he's going to come to the Lord. 2 weeks before he passed away, he had a wonderful conversion. So much so the case that when my mom called me, I said, I have got to see this. I got to see this, because I had left just a couple of weeks before and he was not very responsive at all. And so I said, I have to see this. I went out there again. And that week, My dad was giving testimony to the neighbors that come to see him. He was giving testimony to anybody that walked in his room. Hey, in his weak voice, did you hear that I got saved? Did you hear that I got saved? And I witnessed it, and all the family witnessed it. And I know that it was because of the persistent and the faithful prayers. You can't give up on the promise of God. Never let go of the promise of God. And that was why this man Caleb had such a different spirit about him. He believed the promise of God and he never gave up, even though he spent those 40 years in the wilderness, went through the misery of all of that, traveling through the wilderness in circles, along with the rest, witnessed funerals day after day after day as the children of Israel are falling in the wilderness. No doubt it was just a horrible, horrible experience, but something was in his heart. There was a confidence in his heart, and he never gave up on that. And that's the reason why that whenever Joshua is starting to divide up the different parcels of land and make the division of land for the promised land, I can just kind of mentally see what happened to Caleb. He comes bursting through the crowd and says, "Joshua, wait a minute. Do you remember the words that Moses spoke to me and you? Remember those words? I know it's been 45 years now. But he spoke those words 45 years ago to us and told us what land, that the land we trod upon in the wilderness, that it belongs to us. And it's ours. And I've come to possess it." Praise God. Amen. Didn't matter how old he was, he had faith and he believed God and he endured the difficulties and the challenge and he just trusted God. Amen. Then a fourth thing about this different spirit that Caleb had, and that was he had such a positive outlook on the situation that he was seeing it from God's perspective, from the perspective of God's promises. It says that to the other of the those that came back with the evil report, they said, "We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so were we. We saw ourselves as small, and we were small." That's the way we saw ourselves. You need to see yourself from the perspective of God's word and God's promises. See your life and your future from that perspective. You see a optician or when you go to get, I got new glasses, if you didn't notice, they're different. I had to get some glasses that I could see out of. But you have to go through the process. You have to have an examination. And then when the glasses are prepared for you, then the optician or what's the other term, Megan? What's the other guy? The guy that's got more education than the optician. Optometrist. And on up the list they go of their education. It has to do with your optimism has to do with your optics. It has to be with how do you see it? How do you see things? I just pray, I believe that Caleb, he didn't see it the way that the rest of them did. They all saw themselves as grasshoppers. But no, he said, "This is a good land. This is a land that flows with milk and honey." He didn't pay much attention to the giants that were there. He was looking at this wonderful land. He saw the land and he saw a house being built on that land. And he saw his children living on that same parcel of land. He saw it in generations. He was looking down the road. He believed God for himself and for his family in the future. His optics were, "I see that God has given this to me and I see the future. Not from my human perspective, but through the eyes of God." Hallelujah. So never let the majority deter you. Never let the majority turn you away. Everybody else was saying, "Oh, we're small. We're defeated. We can't face these giants. We're like grasshoppers. We're small." And it was just Joshua and Caleb, just these two out of this great number of people that have given up. But they did not give up. Amen. And they kept their eyes, their sights set upon what God had already promised them. So keep it alive. The promise of God has to become really a dream in your heart. I don't know, I can envision Caleb laying down in the dust of that wilderness night after night after night. And he'd go to sleep and he dreamed about that mountain. And he dreamed about the green and the fruitfulness of that land. He dreamed about all the fruit and the vegetables, and he dreamed about his children living there with him, and it was in his heart. It was the dream that God had given to them. Don't lose those dreams that God has put in your heart. Hold on to them amen, believe that God is at work. Amen. One more thing about Caleb and this different spirit was he had a conquering, fighting attitude. He was willing to fight. He was willing to fight if he had to. He said, you know, there may be giants there may be armies there may be resistance there, but if God's going with me, I'm going to enter into this battle, and I'm going to fight it, and by the grace of God, I'm going to win it. He said, now I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as strong as I was 45 years ago. I'm just as strong both to go in and to go out, both to fight this battle. I'm strong enough for war. I'm going to go in. Amen. Do you understand that God gives to you promises, and he gives to you a vision and a dream of what he wants to do in your life? And you may have to fight for it. You very likely will. You may have to fight. The enemy is going to be against you. Satan's going to try to destroy you. Circumstances in your life are going to try to hinder you and to stop you from accomplishing the things that God has placed in your heart. But you have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to put up a resistance to the lies of the enemy. So all these years later now, Joshua, dividing up the land, Caleb just steps up and says, wait a minute, I might be old, but don't count me out yet. Glory to God. Thank God for old people. How many of y'all would admit you're old and you'd raise your hand? Thank God for old people. If you read the Bible and read the Bible through, you're going to find out that God used a lot of old people. Amen. Amen. So if you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or whatever, the Lord's not through with you. God's through with you when you take your last breath. That's when he's through with you. But until that day, he wants you to keep fighting. He wants you to keep believing. He wants you to keep your eyes upon the prize. He wants you to hold fast to the promises of God. Never give up and maintain that spirit that's different from the world and the ways of this world. And whatever the mountain is, no matter how difficult that it might seem, if God has placed this thing in your heart, go for it. Amen. Believe God. Trust the Lord to work mightily in your life and in your circumstance. God, I ask you today to speak to the hearts of people in this place today, that they have come into this service and they have been beaten down. They have been defeated by circumstances, problems. Their life is full of fear and worry. And Lord, they can't see how anything could ever be turned around for the good. But God, I just pray that this morning, your Holy Spirit would settle in upon the hearts of every man and woman in this place. Oh God. Lord, we need that different spirit, another spirit. It's an uncommon spirit. It's your touch upon our life. It can cause us to see beyond our worries and our problems and our circumstances and to see, God, that you have great things that you have promised to every one of us. Exceeding great and precious promises that are ours. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, Lord, I pray for those that are in this place today and they've been beaten down by the enemy. I ask you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you'll lift them up today. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up in this service today, Lord, and give them a faith and a confidence, Lord. May they leave this place today, Lord, lifted up by the power of your Spirit, we pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name.